Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, it's an all-pundit show with Ray Hager, James Smack, Chris Wicker, and Chip Evans for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. It's an all-pundit show today. We have James Smack, the former Nevada Republican National Committeeman, Chris Wicker, former State Democratic Party Vice Chair and member of the DNC, and Chip Evans, former chairman of the Washoe Dems, along here with Ray Hager. So we're taping this on the morning of the 15th of November for playback at this time. So I wanted to get your reaction, Chris, to the stunning reversal of fortune for Judge Roy Moore of Alabama.
I think it is stunning. It is stunning, but I would think that for the folks in Alabama, it's a very hard pill to swallow. Roy Moore has been kind of a folk hero to them because he's fought the federal courts all throughout his career. But the women that have come out are just so credible. I know Breitbart News sent reporters out trying to dig up dirt on them. But the women are so credible, and the accompanying stories about being banned from the mall and so forth, it just leads to a conclusion that he's done that. And I don't know if it qualifies as pedophilia or not, but certainly inappropriate behavior. And I think the Republicans are starting to leave the Roy Moore ship, and the big kahuna that hasn't, I think, as of this time, hasn't said anything is President Trump.
Were you surprised, James, that Mitch McConnell came out so rapidly?
Not really. Roy Moore has made a pretty much made a living on saying that Mitch McConnell shouldn't be the majority leader in the United States Senate. And so when these stories started to surface, I think Mitch McConnell saw his exit window and decided to take advantage of it.
And, of course, the president was supporting Curtis Strange in the primary.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see if they can resurrect candidacy and a write-in from that. I did want to go back to the last question for a moment. I think one of the most jarring things for the people of Alabama and the whole world back there is that this was actually a really well-done piece of journalism that turned this up. And I think amongst the people who know the difference between real news and fake news is Mitch McConnell. And, you know, it was well-sourced. It was well-documented. Independent women reporting separately. This was not a hit job, and it was recognizable in that form immediately to anybody who's not just drunk the Kool-Aid that all news is fake. So I think the Alabama's got a little bit of work to do in dealing with real news.
Well, I agree that I thought this story was very good because, you know, in Washington politics, you get a lot of stories with according to sources, but everybody, these women that were accusing Roy Moore of his shenanigans, they were all on the record, and they did a lot of various interviews, so I thought it was very good journalism. James, I want to go back to you on something that I think has gotten very little play in the media that could be very huge, and that is Sheldon Adelson splitting with Steve Bannon in support of Mitch McConnell. And what does this do to the campaign of Danny Tarkanian if Sheldon Adelson is supporting the establishment Republicans as opposed to the Republicans who want Mitch McConnell out? And I put Danny Tarkanian also in that group.
I don't think it really changes an awful lot. There's quite a few senators that would like to see Mitch McConnell not be the majority leader anymore. And I've gone on the record saying I don't think Mitch McConnell should be
right,
the majority
the
record
biggest
anymore.
Biggest Republican
anymore. Sure.
Donor is now.
But he's still backing an Adam Laxalt who can't be considered by any stretch of the imagination an establishment candidate. So I think Sheldon Adelson, as much as anything, is hedging his bets. I think he recognizes, at least in this instance with Roy Moore, that Mitch McConnell is going to come out on top with this. The story was a very good news story. I'm going to give that. I don't like the idea of Roy Moore being prosecuted in the press. I think that these women are willing to go on the record. They should also be willing to press charges. And when people say, well, the statute of limitations ran out, not in Alabama. In Alabama, the statute of limitations for any kind of sexual contact with a child under 16, there is no statute of limitations on that. They said that the woman who said that she was assaulted by Roy Moore when she was 14 years old should be pressing charges. And I haven't seen that yet. So my biggest concern is that if we're going to prosecute this whole thing and Roy Moore is going to get brought down by a news story, who's next? Who's the next one? Is somebody going to come out and say, well, I was, and this is just an example, but I was molested by Al Franken on the set of Trading Places when I was 14 years old, and I'm going to go on the record with it. Does that mean Al Franken has to resign based on a news story? I think that that's the thing we just got to worry about here. I think that this is going to play out. It is probably going to take down Roy Moore. It probably will. But we need to look at this also as a cautionary tale. That if the press can just take down somebody at will, when is it going to happen to somebody that more people tend to care about? I mean, I think when you look at somebody like Roy Moore, do I think he chased around 16, 17, 18 years old girls when he was in his late 20s and early 30s? Yeah, I think there's plenty of evidence of that. But in Alabama, that wasn't illegal. The age of consent was 16.
Yeah, but one of the women was 14.
And that one, they should be pressing charges. And this lady that came out with Gloria Allred, she should be pressing charges because, again, there is no statute of limitations on sexual assault in the state of Alabama either. Why are they not pressing charges? Why are they prosecuting this through the press?
Why do they?
You know, facts and truth come out from investigative journalism. You know, we don't have to wait to make a judgment about somebody until a trial is ended. I think that standard is just way beyond reasonable. Ask Gary Hart. I mean, plenty of people get caught doing things wrong, press uncovers it, and they say, you know what? I better pack it up and go home, and it's a good day. And everybody else says, you pack it up and go home. There are enough facts there. It's credible. I believe prosecution in the press in the absence of legal things, everybody has to make a judgment. If the facts are there, the facts are there.
Well, I just want to note that I believe the Alabama law was changed to remove the statute of limitations after the events in question occurred. And so, but I tend to agree with Chip that I think these things play out in all kinds of forums. And sometimes the only forum is the press. Sometimes the forum is the legal system, but it's going to play out in all kinds of forums. And if somebody is credibly a disreputable person, then they should have the consequences of it. It's got to be credible, and I think in this case, most people agree it's credible.
There wasn't any real consequences for Ted Kennedy.
Oh, I think there were consequences for Ted Kennedy,
plenty of
consequences.
He wasn't expelled from the United States Senate after he drove Mary Jo Kopechne into the river.
Well, you know, I think there's a great deal of dispute about what happened with Kennedy, and that kind of goes back to what a favorite trick of Donald Trump. When you're talking about a particular story, he likes to deflect the discussion over to, well, what about this or what about that? Well, right now we're talking about Roy Moore, not Ted Kennedy, who's long passed.
Let's go to something a little bit more recent then. How about Bob Menendez?
Well, the jury's out, as far as I understand.
The jury is definitely out.
No, the jury is deadlocked.
Well, yeah, that's what it's looking like. That's what it's looking like. Okay. It hasn't been decided. The jury is still deliberating.
Right, and we'll take a timeout, and we'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. We're doing the whole show with them. Chip Evans is here, former chairman of the Washoe Dems. Chris Wicker is former state Democratic Party vice chair, a member of the Democratic National Committee. And James Smack is former Nevada Republican National Committeeman.
Chip, let me start with you since we're going round table here. And of course, James, you'll want to step in on this and also... Chris, a man who spent 20 years in a Nevada prison for murder he apparently did not commit, was recently pardoned by the Nevada Pardons Board. Attorney General Adam Laxalt, running for governor as a Republican, was the only no vote on the board. Governor Sandoval and all seven state Supreme Court justices voted to issue an unconditional pardon. Yet Laxalt voted no on this pardons board. And Chip, what does this say about the, you know, the front runner GOP gubernatorial candidate?
Well, it says he's subject to disgusting levels of partisan politics. You know, justice was thrown to the curb there. Everybody that looked at the case knew the guy was absolutely innocent. The system had beat this man down for 20 years and before that. And we can't admit our own mistakes. I mean, this is like a Breitbart never admit you're wrong sort of thing, or a Trump never admit you're wrong sort of thing. And I just think that shows a lack of character.
I don't know about a lack of character, but I do think that Adam Laxalt made a mistake in that particular instance. I think he should have probably voted with the majority if the person didn't commit the crime. It was relatively obvious they should have been pardoned. I'm not sure what his thinking was there, but I don't agree with what he did.
Chris, you want to weigh in as a practicing attorney?
Well, yeah. If Adam Laxalt, in fact, had been a practicing attorney, which we all know he wasn't, he would know that there's way too many mistakes that are made in our legal system. I think we have one of the best legal systems in the world. But whenever judges and juries are human beings and whenever they're making decisions, mistakes occur. And the appeals process and sometimes investigative journalism are the ways that these things get redressed. And when it's time to redress them, you don't play politics with it, and you do the right thing. And if Adam Laxalt is incapable of doing the right thing on something like that, then you question, just like when he took the chairman of the Gaming Control Commission out to breakfast to talk about Adelson's problem. You know, you got to learn how to do the right thing if you want to be a leader.
James, you want to respond to that?
I do, but I'm trying to. I think my primary response is somebody spent 20 years in prison for a crime that they didn't commit. That wrong was righted, or at least as righted as it could have been at this point in time. I don't think Adam Laxalt voting against that pardon was really excusable, And I'm not going to sit here and try and defend it, because I don't think there is a defense for it. I think that he should have voted with the other eight members, the seven members of the Supreme Court and the governor in pardoning this individual.
And Chris, I just want to respond to you that A.G. Burnett turned over the tape that he made of the meeting with Adam Laxalt to the FBI, and the FBI said that there was nothing there to prosecute or untoward. So I do want to make that point there. So let's take a break. More with our All Pundit Show when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we've got an all-pundit show going here with James Smack. He's the former Nevada Republican National Committeeman. Chris Wicker, former State Democratic Party Vice Chair and member of the Democratic National Committee. And Chip Evans, former chairman of the Washoe Dems. We have quite a power lineup here today. So, Chip, you were going to run for lieutenant governor. You backed out when Kate Marshall got in. Why?
I did. You know, she had a particular advantage. Well, first off, I felt like she would represent the values that I was running for. And I didn't feel badly about that. And I have not run for a statewide office. And, you know, 75% of the population lives down in Las Vegas. And when I looked at what it would take to create enough name recognition down there and support, I felt like she had the better shot. And so I yielded.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I moderated a debate when she was running for CD2. And I asked her at one point during the debate if she planned to announce at that debate that she was actually a Republican because she was running so far to the right of Mark Amadei. Chris, do you think that she's going to run as a Democrat in this lieutenant governor's race or move towards the right?
You know, I think that was a criticism that that Kate received from more than one quarter that in that CD2 special election that she ran too conservatively. And it didn't work out very well. And so I don't see her ever making that mistake again. And I think that I know what her true principles are. And I think that she leaned too heavily to the far right side when she's running for that office. But I think she'll go back to what her true values are, because I think everybody recognizes that was a mistake.
You know, Chip, this is what disappoints me about you dropping out of the race. Okay, both you and Kate ran against Mark Amadei for Nevada's congressional District 2 seat. You got a higher percentage of the vote than Kate did. It wasn't a lot, maybe a percentage point or so, but still the fact remains you got more votes than she did in that election. And so that's why I was disappointed to see you drop out.
Well, I get that and I hear that, but you know, this is a statewide race, and I'd take her on in CD2, maybe.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you, James, about rural Nevada and how, you know, in the past we've thought in terms of, you know, Clark County is Democratic, rural is Republican, Washoe County, the swing county and the swing state. Is that still the case, or is it changing in rural Nevada?
No, I think it's still the case. I think that your rural communities and rural Nevada are still going to come out heavily Republican, and I don't foresee that changing anytime in the foreseeable future. You might see a little bit of a change in places like Lyon County and that with these larger companies like Tesla and Google moving in, and as people come in to work for places like Tesla and Google, especially if they're coming up from California, they may bring some of those values up with them. And we do tend to see most folks from California tend to lean a little bit further to the left than most folks do in Nevada. So you might start to see that in some of the areas near like Washoe County, like my county of Lyon County. I could see that starting to that demographic starting to change, but it's going to take years. It's not going to be something where a Democrat's going to be able to scream and shout that they've got a victory in Lyon County, probably for at least another decade. But I still think that you're going to see places like White Pine, Elko, Lincoln County, the counties out in the real outback in Nevada, are going to continue to be Republican for is probably for at least my lifetime, if not the lifetime of everybody in this room.
So that's at least 100 years. Chris, is that your take on it?
Yeah, I think James is accurate on that. I see changes occurring in Carson City, perhaps Nye County as Pahrump grows. But the problem that Democrats always face is that in statewide races, the Republican gets such a huge margin in the rurals. And even though Clark County is the base of most vast majority of the population and heavily Democratic, you still need big margins in order to overcome the big margin that the rurals create for Republican candidates. And that's where Washoe County comes in. And every statewide officer that's run has come to Washoe County to try to figure out how they might do in Washoe County, because the Clark County and the rurals are more predictable than Washoe County.
Let's look at the governor's race on the Democratic side just for a moment here. And I'll start with you, James, just because you're not a Democrat. It's going to be an interesting race between Steve Sisolak and Chris Gee, polar opposites in terms of Democratic values.
That's true. I'm looking forward to actually watching that one unfold. I think that's going to be actually a much more competitive race than what you're going to see on the Republican side.
You mean Dan Schwartz is not going to be competitive?
Hey, stop it now.
Hey, Dan.
I like Dan. I'm friends with Dan. I'm friends with Adam.
So is this program.
But that doesn't mean that I also, looking at this from a political perspective, not seeing Dan having a very, very steep hill to climb to try and overtake Adam Laxalt in the Republican primary. I don't see that in a Democrat primary, though. I see Chris Gee and Steve Sisolak being able to fight this out, and I think that one's going to be decided by less than 10 points when it's all said and done. I think it's going to be a close race. I don't think you're going to see either one of them back down or drop out and say, in the interest of party unity, I support this one. So it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight, and it'll be interesting to see if it leads to fights in any of the other primaries among Democrats. I've heard one maybe shaping up for treasurer, and maybe one even shaping up for the office that's semi-important to me, being the controller's office, that there might be a competitive Democrat primary on that side too. So it's going to be interesting to watch that one unfold. I'm not going to try to opine on which one's going to win, because it's going to depend on who gets their voters out.
Chip?
You know, I put my political thinking through a new filter these days. There's the Democrats.
Could it be the 15-second filter?
Yeah. You know, there's this group called the Progressives and the Resist Movement, and that's where the juice is. And I think the possibility of propelling Chris Gee to that spot as the governor in the Democratic primary is much stronger than people think.
Chris?
I think Chip, I agree with both Chip and James, and which is a dangerous thing
Holy
to do.
Holy moly.
Wow. But I circle this day on my calendar.
I see a potential landmine there for the Democrats because I think the progressives will lean towards Chris Gee, and the more moderate Democrats are going to lean towards Sisolak. And when it's all the dust clears, I hope those two sides can come together over who wins the primary. But I see a potential hazard there for Democrats.
And that's where we have to leave it. Great show, you guys. Thank you so much. And we'll be right back.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
On our next broadcast, Kimmy Cole, chair of the Rural Nevada Democratic Caucus. We'll see you then.